Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm excited about having Dan Danner back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Dan is Vice President of the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB, the organization I've been telling you about since the first day I broadcast on the show, 1997. I was the first day I broadcast, the first year, November 17th, actually, 1997. The very first guest I had was someone with the NFIB. Her name was Clita Mitchell, and I bet Dan remembers her. Dan Danner is our guest. Dan, welcome back to the show.
I sure do. Thank you very much, Jim. It's great to be with you.
It's good to have you back, and I always like having my friends at NFIB on the show because you guys work so hard for us, and Dan, for on behalf of my audience, members and not NFIB members, we thank you.
Thank you, and it's great to be with you.
Okay, we got some news. We got August 1st, we got some new fax rules. Tell us about it.
Well, essentially, it sort of like the no-call list, Jim. It says that you cannot send out unsolicited faxes to whomever you want. You can still, fortunately, one of the things we work very hard on, you can still fax your customers and people with whom you have a previous business relationship, and
sort of an opt-in type of thing.
Exactly, and you know,
they've given you permission. You can still do permission faxing.
Yes, sir.
But not to unsolicited.
Yes, sir. What they wanted to cut down on was just like they did with the no call list. Is that your fax is going to get barraged with unsolicited ads for everything.
I am glad they're doing this, Dan, and the reason, on a personal level, you know, we don't use our fax that much anymore, but when we need it, you know, I'm always out of ink because these unsolicited cruise faxes come in where they put a picture of the whole ship on the fax, and it just sucks the ink right out of my cartridge.
Yeah,
and so then I get a real fax that I need, and without realizing it, you know, the darn thing is out of ink because these other things have come up. And it costs money. Ink and paper cost money.
Yep. And I think it makes a lot of sense what they did. Unfortunately, what they didn't do was keep a business person from faxing somebody with whom they had a business relationship. If you're a realtor and you're working with a client, could you fax them a proposal? Mm-hmm. Well, sure, they want it. And so I think they ended up with what's a good solution to keep unsolicited faxes but still allow business faxes that people want.
So what do we do if we get an unsolicited, after August 1st, what do we do if we get an unsolicited fax?
There is a call-in number, and I don't have that. I think
right.
You can call in and
turn them in, huh?
Yeah, I'd say that you don't want that to continue again. Very much like the no-call list that's been in effect for some time.
Right, right. So turn them in. Now, if they don't comply, or if they are charged with unsolicited faxes, there's a stiff penalty, isn't there?
There are. There are fines and penalties, and to hopefully get plenty enough to get anyone's attention.
Right. So, it's in the hundreds of dollars, and I don't know, is there the amount? It's like $500 or something like that?
Yeah, and it's multiple. I think where it really adds up is it's for every individual fax.
So
it can become a lot very quickly.
So if you send out 1,000 faxes at
yes.
$500 a pop, that's going to
get your attention.
That'll get your attention. So, folks, the main thing that we want to talk to you about to give you this information, and by the way, this begins August 1st of 2006, is, you know, don't get yourself caught. If you're doing faxing, if you're doing indiscriminate faxing to unsolicited prospects, then you need to stop. Because you're going to get in trouble. And if someone's doing it to you, then, here's a contact number. I do have that number. It's called, it's 888-CALL-FCC. 888-CALL-FCC. And that's, I don't know what those numbers are, but that's, you can peck it out there. So that's what you do. If you want to find out more about this or to turn someone in. Anything else on this topic, Dan, before we move over to healthcare?
No, sir. Let's talk about healthcare.
Small business health plans, formerly known as association health plans. I am not only in favor of it, I'm a staunch advocate of it. I can't wait till we get them, Dan.
Well, obviously we are too. We've been over 10 years here at NFIB working on trying to get something, and we think this is a big something that would help both the availability, the choices, and the cost for small business owners to find and purchase health care.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a bigger problem right now for most small businesses.
That's exactly right. In fact, Dan, when I travel around the country talking to small business audiences and I ask them, what is the single biggest concern that you have in your business right now? It's not more business. It's not capital. It's not profitability. It's I can't afford the health care for my employees, or I would like to provide health care for my employees. I just can't afford it.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. Most small business owners that do provide health care continue to see 10, 15, 18% increase in their premiums every year. So the outlook in the next, the outlook over the horizon is not very good.
And so AHPs, folks, or small business health plans, as they're now called, would allow you to band together with your chamber of commerce. Chambers could band together across the country. An organization like yours, Dan, National Federation of Independent Business, could offer their members health plans across state lines. You could go across, you could sort of fly right over the state insurance commissioners. And we're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Dan Danner, Vice President with the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, and that's NFIB.com, right, Dan?
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about the NFIB.
Well, we are the nation's largest small business advocate. We have operations in all 50 states and here in Washington. We represent really the small of small businesses. Most of our members are hardworking, 5 to 10 employee kinds of people, and we're delighted to do our part to try and give them a seat at the table, along with the large corporations and large unions. So,
and Dan, as you probably know, long before I was the Small Business Advocate, long before I started doing my radio show and my other things, I was a small business owner, and I was a member of the NFIB.
Yes, sir.
I think I'm going on my 16th year, maybe, as a member of the NFIB.
Well, that's fantastic.
And I'm very, very happy to say that, and have always been happy to tell my audience about you. And, folks, I encourage you to check out their website. You can join them online, but also they have folks out there in the field who will call on you and who have called on me and do all the time. And so I encourage next time an NFIB person knocks on your door, let them in. Give them a few minutes. Tell them that I told you that I asked you to give them a few minutes on me. And then send me the bill if you want to. Hey, Dan, let's talk about I want to wrap up quickly on the health care. I had Senator Michael Enzi on my show about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, great, great, great man.
What a great American.
Mm-hmm.
If we had more people like Michael Enzi on both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republican, if we had more people like him in Washington, the world would be a better place, in my opinion.
He has been doing a great job on health care and working very hard to try and get something passed. Unfortunately, we're not quite there yet, but he has done a fantastic job.
He is a champion of this small business health plan bill. He's the author of it. And, you know, here's what he told me, Dan, and I know you know this. He probably told you first. He said, that the bill didn't pass last time largely because it had some amendments attached to it, that all of which have now been resolved. And so now the bill is basically clean as a hound's tooth and ready to go up on its own merits. He says he thinks that he can, he's got a chance of getting it back up on the floor. It's standing there ready to go. He said, I can bring it up at a moment's notice. And he said, now, if I can get four Democrats to vote for this, he said, we can pass this year.
Well, we're very hopeful, and we are talking with the senator and his staff pretty much every day. We did, last time it came up, there were two Democrats, Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska, who's also been just fantastic.
He's a great American, too.
On this legislation, and Senator Landrieu from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very hopeful. It looks now like the most likely scenario would be after Labor Day when they come back in September.
If you have a senator who's a Democrat who represents you, you're a small business owner and you want small business health plans, which I think you should if you are a small business owner, call your Democratic senator. And there's a pretty good chance they've been voting against this, and tell them you want them to vote for it. Now, Dan, I want to move on quickly to minimum wage because this is rearing its ugly head again. The House is taking up in a week or so this issue of raising minimum wage. Dan, it's a big mistake.
Well, we certainly agree. Now at a time when employment is very high, we think this is absolutely the wrong thing to do. And in many cases, it hurts the people that you don't want to hurt.
That's right.
Entry-level people with the lowest skill levels are the ones whose jobs are going to be eliminated when you raise the minimum wage.
Minimum wage increase is nothing but a political ploy, ladies and gentlemen, that hurts the marketplace. It doesn't raise anybody's wages. It will raise wages by fiat, by government fiat, but it's going to cost a lot of people their jobs, and it's going to hurt the economy. It's going to be inflationary. This is the wrong policy at the wrong time, in my opinion, Dan.
We certainly agree, and most of our members today are looking for good people, and they're looking for good people who will come to work every day and will come on time and will do a good job. And if they do, they are usually well paid.
Exactly, and you know another thing, Dan. In the 21st century, we have other alternatives to hiring people. We can buy technology. And that's what we're going to be doing. In my opinion, raising minimum wage is going to put unemployment, it's going to raise the unemployment rate.
Okay, absolutely. And again, among teenagers, minorities, low-skilled, entry-level people, the kind of people that employers in a lot of cases hire and realize that they're going to have to spend a good deal of time training and getting people mm-hmm. who have not been in the workforce to understand what it means to come to work every day. And if they do, usually they move up fairly quickly.
There are a lot of small businesses out there that will no longer be able to be competitive if this wage increase is imposed, and there are a lot of them that will go out of business, and I want to see that stopped, and I want to thank you, Dan Danner, and the NFIB for working hard to try to prevent this.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always a great pleasure to be with you.
You and you as well, Dan. Dan Danner, ladies and gentlemen, Vice President with the NFIB. That's NFIB.com. Check them out. Check out their website. It's a good website, too, by the way, and I hope you'll decide to support them. Quick break. Right back with Tim Berry right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.